Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? There's an almost humorous parallel between the first two readings set for today, in a dark comedy kind of way. The first lesson is the story from the book of Acts. Now, to put this in context, it looks like, you read just this short passage, it looks like Stephen maybe hasn't done anything or said anything. But take a look at that chapter and you'll see that he has preached one of the longest sermons in the Bible. He goes on and on, actually, and very eloquently, telling the crowd about the meaning of Christ's life, death, and resurrection, after which they stone him to death. My private title for this episode is The Preacher's Nightmare. Thank you for laughing. They didn't laugh at 8, and I thought, oh, this is the end of this. The second reading is from the first letter of Peter, which urges us, come to Christ, a living stone, the rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. So it's all about stones. To be more precise, all about dead stones or death-dealing stones and living or life-giving stones. The people who stoned Stephen were true believers. In fact, the truest of the true believers, a guy named Saul, was standing by, watching and perhaps orchestrating the execution of this heretic. What Stephen was telling them did not square with their idea of religion. And so down he went under the death-dealing dead weight of all those stones. It takes a long time to kill somebody by stoning. They knew they would work up a sweat, which is why they took off their coats and left them with Saul for safekeeping. But this leisurely exercise in heresy bashing also gave Stephen a chance to witness once more, not to dead stones, but to his living faith, to exclaim with joy over his vision of heaven, and to ask God to forgive his killers. I don't have any interest in arguing the validity of Stephen's theology versus that of the people who killed him. I am a Christian, so of course I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, but I respect people who disagree. Good Jews who have remained true to their own faith over the centuries. What I'm more interested in this morning is this business of the way people use their faith and what that shows about the quality of the faith itself. Does it make them living stones or death-dealing missiles hurled at those with whom they disagree? A good case in point is the way people use the bit from today's gospel in which Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This saying can be turned into a nice heavy rock to throw at anyone who refuses to see the light, be born again, or whatever. But is that what Jesus really intended? I don't think so. In fact, now I want to make a little digression and talk about the nature of the Gospel of John. I think when we read things like this in John that seem to be exclusionary, you know, unless you say the right things or believe the right things, you're out. I think we always have to remember how John begins. If there are any old-timers here who were high church like me, you might remember that every service in a certain high stratum of the church used to end with what we called the last gospel. Every service you heard it. It's this beginning of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing that was made was made except through the Word. It's a huge cosmic view of Christ. So when Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him, I think we have to imagine something far bigger than any particular brand of Christianity, maybe even bigger than Christianity itself. After all, Jesus begins this conversation by telling his disciples about the many dwelling places in his Father's house. Now, yes, I do think there's something unique in Christianity. I mean, here I am, right? But today, I want to concentrate on what Jesus is saying in the context of living stones versus dead stones. Jesus is talking about life, not about doctrine, about life, about a way of life. The disciples have a hard time getting this. Thomas wants to know the way to where Jesus is going. Philip wants Jesus to show him the Father. This proves that from the very beginning, Christians have wanted to nail down doctrine. Somebody, please, tell us exactly what we're supposed to do, exactly what we're supposed to believe, exactly what not to do, what not to believe. Engrave it in stone so I can memorize it and never have to think about it again. I want something solid, man, none of this mystical poetic nonsense, which the Gospel of John is full of, actually. Something solid. It's a natural desire. How much easier things are when we're given step-by-step instructions. But Jesus doesn't want that for us, I don't believe. Instead, he's inviting us into relationship. Don't you get it, Thomas? Don't you see, Philip? I am the way. Walk with me. Try to be like me. That's how to reach God's heart. That's the way to where you're going. That's how to know what's real, what's lasting, what's true. That's how you'll become fully alive. Eternal life in the Gospel of John is about the present, not just pie in the sky by and by. In fact, you know, when we say a confession, which we don't in this season, but, you know, it says in the absolution, the priest says, keep you in eternal life, not have it there for you somewhere in the future. That's what's real. It's all about life. And to get back to stones, it's about living rock. Now, that's a term that's used when structures are built right out of or into a hill or a mountain. If you've ever been to Edinburgh in Scotland, the castle on top, which is really a complex of buildings, is built right into and out of the living rock there. Big high hill overlooking the city. The living stones that First Peter would have us be are like that. As living stones, we won't be perfectly chiseled. Instead, we'll be rooted in the bedrock that is Christ. We won't be smooth and symmetrical and predictable. We'll be like him, connected to the living, pulsating reality at the heart of the universe. He said that if we see him, we do see the Father. Christ is the one who gives himself away. So that's what God is, the one who gives himself away, who heals and teaches and bleeds to give life to the world. To know what Christ is like, then, is to know God. The bedrock of God's house, the house of many mansions, is this giving, this healing, this leading, this love. And we're called to be living stones rooted in Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life that are love. A way and a life are constantly unfolding They're not rocks that are nicely squared off and stationary. They aren't objects you can pick up and throw at somebody else. Now you may ask, what about truth? Isn't truth unchangeable or unchanging? Well, you know, if any of you studied modern science or even watched a TV show on PBS about it, you know that truth ain't what it used to be. You know, quantum physics, Einstein's theories of relativity, wait, you know, how can my watch say something different than your watch? And we're both right. Truth is not unchanging. There may indeed be an immutable truth in God, but if we're following a way and living a life, how we see that truth will shift as our perspective shifts, just like in the theory of relativity. When you're walking in the high country, for instance, the mountains you see don't change. The mountains are there, but you keep looking at them from different angles. When you start out, it may seem like there's just one peak ahead of you. Gain a little elevation, suddenly you see there's another one beyond that. And look, there's a little canyon you never knew was there before. The truth doesn't change, but if you're in motion, you keep seeing more of it. You keep seeing a different truth. The same can be said about how you read the Bible or understand doctrine or judge human behavior. We're all under a lot of pressure right now to find perfectly formed and solid answers to all of life's questions. This is true in politics, certainly, ethics, and religion. If we don't have these answers, there must be something wrong with us. And if the answers we do find don't fit with a certain rock-like program, we'd better shape up, or the stones will come flying our way. And if you're an Episcopalian, you can hear them already whistling overhead. But never despair. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. Not through dogma, not through any single interpretation of scripture or tradition, not through surrender to the loudest voice in the street or the cathedral or the Capitol building. Through him. Through him, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And what are the way, the truth, and the life? When all is said and done, the way, the truth, and the life are simply the love of God in Christ Jesus. I'm using the words now that same fellow who watched the stoning of Stephen, Saul or Paul, for whom way, truth, and life changed forever when the risen Christ broke into his hard-as-rock reality. Yes, the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us, he says in the letter to the Romans. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Paul also said that love is the greatest of God's gifts, that famous chapter of the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13. Love is beyond prophetic powers and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge and even all faith. Let's hear that one again. The gift of love is more important than prophecy, doctrine, and even faith. Love does not cast stones. Love deals in life, not death. And if we hang on to Christ, who is the love of God in action, he talks about the deeds at the end of today's gospel. You know, if you can't believe in me, believe in what's happening, what's done. Love of God in action. We will find the way and know the truth and live the life. I believe that this is the bedrock of our faith. This is our doctrine. We should be proud to claim it. If others want to believe otherwise, that's fine. We'll keep asking God to forgive us all. And we'll pray for the grace to become the living stones that will build the temple of God's love here on earth, a many-chambered house with room for all of God's beloved people, just like the home that has been prepared for us all in the world to come. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?